Good morning. Today's daf from Mabim Sia, daf Yud Gimel. Van Gulupin Foundation with sponsorship of the daf is known as Zechon Shmas Lipik Ariella Bashmuel. We begin the Gemara today on daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, finishing up the Mishnah from yesterday. The Mishnah talked about the mitzias of people who were subordinate to you. Somebody subordinate to you finds something and they are financially subordinate to you. So then anything they find goes to you. So I keep using the example of winning the lottery. I'm not sure if that's the best example of a mitzia, but it's certainly the one that hits home the most, right? So your kid wins a lottery and he's a cotton, so that earnings go to you. So that's mitzias beno vito ketanim. So as I pointed out yesterday when we went through the Mishnah, most of the points made in the Mishnah are obvious, meaning that we know that based on other sources in Mishnayos and in Gemaras. So the bito katana, your minor daughter. So that is okay. So bito katana, your minor daughter. So that's somebody who is father has all of her earnings. That's a pasuk in the Torah. Evan shivcha kananim. So they, of course, they're owned by the master. So whatever they pick up is going to belong to the master. And ishto and his wife. That's based on the Mishnah Ksuvos that says that that mitzias isha is going to go to the husband because of Eva. So these are things which are obvious. The Gemara spent a lot of its time yesterday talking about. But no, your son even has a katan. So his earnings do not automatically go to the father. So why should it be that the earnings of the son, even though he's a katan, go to the father? So the Gemara spent most of its time in Beis Amidal discussing how that works. There are a couple of opinions expressed in the Gemara exactly how that works. Shmuel gives an explanation on in the beginning of the Gemara, and then we ended off yesterday with a second explanation as well. That of Rav Asi, which takes us to the Amud Beis. Okay, so a couple of explanations in terms of why it is that the son's findings go to the son. Rav Asi's explanation, parenthetically, not parenthetically. Rav Asi's explanation is based on the fact that when the Mishnah says katan and gadol, the Mishnah didn't mean somebody who's physically an adult versus a child who's physically a minor. We mean financially an adult versus financially a minor. So once you are supported by your parents, by your father, so you're going to have to give him his earnings. It would be similar to the relationship between a husband and a wife. Husband is responsible to support his wife, so therefore the mitzvah of his wife goes to her husband. So similarly, this is Rav Asi's approach, when a child is being supported by the parent, so all the mitzvah has to go to the father. Okay, that is...
I call that a guy supported by parents?
Yeah, it's the same thing. In other words, according to Rav Asi, answer that would seem to work out. We turn to the top of Yud Beis Amud Beis and Mitzias Avdo V'Shiv Chasu Ha'Ivrim Harei Yishal Atzman. Okay, now we're at the next part of the Mishnah, and that is when you have an Eved Ivri or an Amma Ivriya. So anything they pick up is going to belong to themselves. Now am I? So the Gemara says, now that part I don't understand. Lo Yehei LaPaol. So what are we talking about over here? We're talking about an Eved Ivri. Fine. He's a worker. Fine. But we also know that when you're working for somebody, when you're employed by somebody, so you are them. You're representing them. You're working for them. And Vitanya, and the Gemara quotes the Braisa, and this is now the second time we're learning this Braisa together in Bab Metzia. Metzia's Paul Latzmo. Yes, it's true that when somebody finds something, it belongs to him, meaning the employee can find something and he'll take a couple minutes off of work and he'll take it for himself. But that's only true. That's only when the job task for the employee is very specific in terms of what he's supposed to do. So therefore, he could take time off of employment. Obviously, Rashi pointed out already in the Masechta, he's not going to get paid for that time off. It'll be unpaid leave, but it'll take time off of his employment and he'll pick it up. However, however, if the employee is given a non-specific task, he's simply an employee. You are working for me today, so we've learned in the Braisa, we've said this now twice, that all of his earnings are going to go to the employer because as an employee, your hand is out of the Baal Bayis. So now when you think about that, an Eved Ivri is exactly that, meaning he's an employee with a non-specific task. So therefore, his findings, his mitzvah, should go to the owner. I'm Rabbi Chiya Baba, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara is going to give a number of suggestions how we understand our Our Mishnah. So the Gemara, first suggestion of the Gemara said in the name of Rav Yochanan is Hachaba Be'evin Nokiv Margolius Haskinen. We're talking about an employee, an Eved Ivri, I should say, who is Nokiv Margolius. He's literally threading pearls. Okay, he's doing a very skilled labor. She'ein Rabbo wrote Selishnos Alamlacha Acheris. The master does not want him to change to any other job. And as Rashi explains, how does this explain our Mishnah? It goes like this. What he's doing right now is highly skilled work, and from the employer standpoint, there's real in his mind, there's nothing that could be more important than right now than this particular work. And so therefore, even though he's an Eved Ivri, and even though his basic contractual employment agreement is, you'll do everything, but because he's such a skilled laborer, the employer does not expect that anything else should be happening, or could be happening, probably could's a better way to say it, could be happening other than him doing his skilled labor. Now, if he happens to find a metzia, under these circumstances, he'll take time off. He won't get paid for that time off. He'll pick it up, and it won't go to his employer. And the reason why, says Rashi, is because this was unexpected. Meaning the employer did not consider that this would actually be a possibility, and so therefore will not go to the employer. Rava Amar, the second answer of the Gemara, Ben Magvi Metzia Imalach To Askinan. Rava gives another explanation, and that is that it didn't take away from his work whatsoever. In other words, he was able to do his work and pick up the Metzia in one fell swoop, and so under those circumstances, then he could keep it for himself. Rav Papa Amar Kigon Shescharu Lalakim Metzios VeYechidam Dehakfe Agma Bechave. And Rav Papa gives a third suggestion, and that is that what was he paid to do? To be Malakim Metzios in order to pick up Metzios. For example, Gemara says, it's unfortunate how timely this is, this Gemara, but let's say the river had a surge, a major surge, and basically fish washed up on the riverbank. And now I see all this opportunity. I only have two hands, so what do? I hire somebody to pick up items. So when I hire somebody to pick up items, so then anything he picks up is going to belong to me. That's what the Bryce is talking about. Meaning, Rav Papa, in terms of addressing this issue, is not really modifying our Mishnah; he's modifying the Bryce. The Bryce is only talking about a scenario in which he is specifically going and picking up he was specifically paid to pick up items, and therefore anything he picks up is going to belong to the Baal Bais. But a regular worker, even a non-specific worker, can take time off, pick something up for himself. That's Rav Papa's approach. Okay, Adkan. So that takes us now to the question of Eved Ivri, continuing Hai Shivcha. We are now talking about the Shivcha, Na'ama Ivriya. Na'ama Ivriya, as we know, we discussed this extensively in Kedushin, is a girl who's sold by her father into slavery, and she will be a slavery again. It's a little strong of a term, but indentured servitude, okay, if it makes anyone feel better. So the and she will be there until she reaches until she completes her katnus, until she is no longer katana. At that point in time, she goes free. So the Gemara says that in the Mishnah we learned that an Amma Yivriya, when she picks something up, it's going to go to herself. To which the Gemara says, Hechidami, Ida Isi Shtei Sara is my Bai Dabeng. So the Gemara says, well, if you think about it, it's hard to understand what the Mishnah is talking about. Let's say she has reached physical maturity. She's no longer by the owner. Now, if she has not reached physical maturity, so that means now if there's a father, it's going to go to her father, not to her owner, for reasons we're going to explain in just a moment. Now, if her father died, she's going to go free. The Gemara says, "I'm Reish Lakish. I'm a Yivriya. Kanaat Mabim Misas Av Mishas Av Demikav Chomer." So Reish Lakish is of the opinion, we saw this back in Kedushin in the first parak, that if after being sold into servitude by her father and her father dies, that will immediately release her from her servitude, the death of her father. Reish Lakish says, we know this based on a Kav V'Chomer, meaning there's no indication in the Pesukim that this is in fact so, but what Reish Lakish did back in Kedushin is he constructed a logical argument that arrived to this conclusion. So the Gemara says, so if that's true, now I don't understand. We now have basically nowhere to go in terms of understanding our Mishnah. We said that an Amma Yivriya finds something, it goes to herself. I don't get it. If she's mature, she's not an Amma Yivriya. If she's not physically mature, it's going to go to her father. If there is no father, she's no longer an Amma Yivriya. So we have nowhere to understand our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, wait one second. V'lavi susa v'Reish Lakish, didn't, when we went over the Reish Lakish's opinion in Kedushin, did we not reject Reish Lakish? Meaning, he built his argument based on Kavachomer, based on a logical argument. But the Gemara says also, if you go back to Kedushin and you review the Gemara Kedushin, you will see over there that although he expressed an opinion, the Gemara categorically rejected his opinion. So it is not an accepted opinion. So the Gemara says, name a mahai, nami tavi tiyufta. So the Gemara says, well, okay. So, can't you say now that our Mishnah also serves as a challenge to Reish Lakish's opinion? The Gemara says, La'olam disay la'av. So the Gemara says, no. Truth be told is that we could be talking about an Am Ivri who still has a father. And she's still under servitude. And my Hare Hain Shalahen, now you go to our Mishnah. So our Mishnah is now talking about a case where an Am Ivri finds something. She is sold by her father into servitude. She still has a father. And what the Mishnah actually means is that she doesn't get to keep it because, again, she's a ketana, she's a minor. And any findings of a ketana go to her father. So the Gemara says, and all the Mishnah means is lafuki de rabba. It just simply means that it doesn't go to her master, to her owner. That's all the Mishnah meant when it says it goes to her. Meaning it goes to her and whoever she normally represents, which is the father, not the master. That's what the Mishnah means. So in other words, even though it's true, back in Kedushin, we've rejected Reish Lakish, but don't use our Mishnah as well to reject Reish Lakish. It's not necessarily a rejection of his opinion. Girsha. And finally, the last thing that we mentioned is that if a woman's divorced and she has a metziah, it does not go to her ex-husband. To which the Gemara's reaction is, probably all of our reactions, that's obvious. Just because you were once married no longer means that you're going to give all your earnings to your ex-husband. In fact, the only reasons why you gave it to him is because you were married. You're no longer married. What would have been the Havamina? Why would a Mishnah need to tell me that once you're divorced, so it doesn't go to your husband? So Pshita, Hachav my skin. So the Gemara says, fine. You're right, it's so obvious. In fact, it's so obvious that what we're going to do is we're going to go back to our Mishnah and we're going to give an Ukimta in the Mishnah. And the Mishnah is dealing with a very specific case, B'megreshes v'ein megreshes. We're talking about a woman who is in a state of Suffolk Gerushin. Not 100% sure whether or not she's divorced. So anytime that we say that this woman is in a state of Suffolk Gerushin, Balachai b'mezonasah, her husband's still on the hook for having to support her because she's not divorced, she's possibly divorced, and therefore the husband has an obligation to support her. Now, time amayam rabbanim tziyasi shalabala. Now the Gemara says, now if that's true, why do we normally say that a woman's findings go to her husband? So that is ki hechad lo tehev le'eva, so that there will not be any type of animosity existing between husband and wife. She finds something, she keeps something. I don't understand. I'm working hard. I'm supporting her, and now she finds something and she gets to keep it. So in order to create harmony in the marriage, so therefore her findings are going to go to her husband. So the Gemara says hacha, but over here she's now in a state of suffolk gerushin. Now it's true that the husband does have to support her. That part's true. That what the Gemara says in the name of Shmuel. However, over here, Isle Eva Ve'eva. But over here, considering the fact that right now he gave her a get, we're just not sure whether the get landed proximate to him or proximate to her. Suffolk Harav La, Suffolk Harav Lo, Suffolk Harav La, we don't know. Over here, we do want the marriage to terminate, meaning we don't want the status quo to continue where she's in a state of Suffolk Gerushin. What we want to do is we want the husband to pick up the get and hand it to her again. And for whatever reason, they're perpetuating this very strange state that they're in right now. So the Gemara says here, we don't want that to continue. So therefore, she finds findings, she can keep it. That's the Chiddush of the Mishnah. Even though she's in this very strange, Suffolk, Gerushin circumstance, we don't want to promote this. We want this to come to a conclusion. We actually want, I know this sounds funny, but we want animosity between the two so that the marriage will terminate. Not in a Suffolk way, but in a Vade way. So therefore, she'll keep her earnings. Okay. I didn't mean earnings. I meant findings. We're talking about Mitzvah, not her earnings, which also go to her husband. But that's a different discussion. Okay. We are continuing. We're now starting the Mishnah on the bottom of Yud Beis Amud Beis. Okay. Matzah Shtar Chov. Okay. You find a note lying around in the street. And for our purposes, let's say that there's a siman on the note. So that means that, yes, we know exactly who was the lender and who was the borrower. And let's even go so far as to say, and the Mishnah doesn't say this, but just to make the point as clearly and as acutely as possible, let's say that there's even a siman on the note so that we know that this note actually was lost by either the lender or the borrower. Now, let's just spend a moment thinking about this out loud, and then we'll go back into the Mishnah. Who likely lost it? So the likely loser of this shtar chov is going to be the lender. Okay. What happens is that the lender writes up let's be more accurate, the borrower is the one who commissions a sofer to write up the document, because he's in need of money, so he's going to write up the shtar chov, he's going to write the note of indebtedness. The note of indebtedness is going to contain all your basic information of who the lender is, who the borrower is, the amount. Shibud nechasim, there's going to be a lien against this note, so that the property of the borrower now is going to be mortgaged against the note. Okay, that's going to be an important part of this whole discussion. And you'll have two witnesses signing on the bottom of the document, and also another critical component is the date of the document. We've gone over this many times before, but it's good. In other words, just the very basics of a shtar chov. Okay, then what happens is that the lova takes the signed note, hands it to the malva. The malva then exchanges money for that note, and we have now what's called a loan. Mazel tov. Okay, from this point going forward now, the malva is going to be holding on tight to that document, because that will be his proof that the note has so far gone unpaid. And then when the time comes, when the term of the loan comes to conclusion, so then the malva is going to come and collect his note using that paper as evidence. In the event that there is a default on the part of the borrower, the malva then is going to turn to the properties as a means of collection. If those properties were sold at any point in time post-date of the note, so now the malva is going to go after the lekuchos. And the malva is going to say to the buyers, look, I'm really sorry, but you bought mortgage properties. I am the lien holder of that. I'm going to come and I'm going to collect. Okay, I know these are all the basics, but as you'll see, all this becomes important just in terms of understanding what all that we're going to see in the upcoming Mishnah and Gemara. Okay, that is that's the very nature of a shtar chov. So here, the paper was found. We found the paper lost in the street. So the likelihood is it belongs to the malva. Because it's true that at the very beginning the lova was the one holding on to it, because he was the one who commissioned the scribe to write it. But then what probably happened is that he handed it to the malva in exchange for the actual note itself. And especially consider the fact that the note is dated. So we pretty much know when the origination of the loan took place because of the date on the note. So if we're anywhere post-date of the note, so probably was in the hands of the malva. Now, it's true also that at the conclusion of the loan, when the borrower does successfully pay back his note, his obligation, the note's going to be handed back to the borrower. What the borrower should be doing immediately upon being handed the note is he should tear it up into as many pieces as he possibly can. Even burn it, better yet. In other words, but do away with the note because he satisfied the obligation. So, with all that, with that picture painted, and I ask you the question, who probably was the loser of the note? Probably the loser of the note was the malva. So, question now. I find a note, and I need to return it. So, I should, in theory, of all likely scenarios, be returning it to the malva. That is our starting point for our discussion. Now, let's go forward. Matzah Sharchov. So if you find a Sharchov, so if it has what the Mishnah describes as a Charis Nechasim, what we'll call Sheba Nechasim, one and the same thing. In other words, the note has on it that it creates a lien against properties of the borrower. So then, according to the first opinion of the Mishnah, which in a moment we're going to see is Rabbi Meir, you do not return the note back to the Malve, because we want to protect. Now, who do we want to protect over here? We're certainly not protecting the Malve. He obviously wants a note back, right? It is certainly going to be beneficial to the lova, but that's not why we're not giving it back to the malva. We're not giving it back to the malva because of lokuchos, meaning unsuspecting buyers of the property. There is an idea that we, at one hand, we say, buyer beware. If you're buying a mortgage property, so you need to do some sort of search in terms of knowing that this property is under, has a lien on it. On the other hand, however, a circumstance like this, where the note was lost, there is a chance that the reason why the note was lost was not because the lender didn't get paid back. Maybe he did. But because we're concerned that what's going to happen is that somebody schemed, perhaps, in order to get property out of the hands of the lukuchos. So in order to protect the buyers of mortgage properties, where at the time of the sale there was no note in existence, or at least, I'm going to say, I don't know, they didn't have the kind of filing system that we have nowadays, but I'll just simply say it. It wasn't on file, so we are looking to protect the lukuchos. Therefore, we don't return it back to the malva. However, if the loan does not have neshib nechasim, meaning there's no lien on the note, it's a note that doesn't have a lien on it. Now, tomorrow we're going to discuss that even though this important detail is missing from the note, is it assumed that every noted document is going to have a shibud? So for our purposes right now, let's assume no, it's not going to be assumed. Let's assume for our purposes that when you have a noted document and there is no shibud nechasim written into the document, it does not create a lien against properties. And therefore, so then just simply return it back to the malva. Shame based on Ephraim Mehem, Divrei Meir. And because what's going to end up happening is that Beis Din will not do anything, meaning they will not collect from the lukuchos based on a note that doesn't have shibud nechasim as written as part of its text. Okay, Adkan, that's the opinion of Reb Meir. And the Chachamim say no. If you have a noted document, don't return it back to the Malva, because once the Malva has a note in his hand, Beis Din will collect on behalf of the Malva. Okay. So far, so good. We have a Mishnah that talks about the finding of a Shtar Chov, and who should I return it to? So, again, as we explained, the default position should be the Malva, but Reb Meir says it depends. If there's Shibud Nechasim on it, don't give it back to the Malva, because then we're going to perhaps take advantage of the Lekuchos. If there is no Shibud Nechasim, so then give it back to the Malva. And according to the Chachamim, never give it back to the Malva, because that is always going to be allowing for a collection against that note. We don't have enough information to really understand the Mishnah. The Gemara immediately reacts to that. So the Gemara says, okay, there is an outstanding note that was found, and we want to know who to return it to. What is the borrower saying right now? Meaning, when the note is sitting in the hands of the Malva, we really don't care what the borrower is saying. There is a note outstanding being held by the lender, so at that point in time, the borrower could say whatever he wants, it doesn't matter. There's a note against him. It's signed by two witnesses. His position right now is immaterial. We are, however, discussing now where the note is no longer being held by the lender. The note was lost. It was picked up. Now there is suspicion in terms of whether or not it is a credible or not credible piece of paper. So now we are certainly interested to hear what the bar has to say. And the Gemara says, "B'mayiskin and ilim kishachayim modeh." Let's say that the borrower says, no, legit. Everything here legit. I borrowed money from him. We wrote up a document and should be his. So So the Gemara says, well, if that's what the borrower is saying, so then under all circumstances, give it back to the lender. Why in the world wouldn't you want to give it back to the lender? The borrower is admitting that the loan occurred and that he owes the money. So why wouldn't you do that? And v'ikishen chayiv modeh. Now, if the borrower says, I don't know what he's talking about, that piece of paper that was found in the street that says, I own money, I don't agree. And let me ask you a simple question. Why isn't it in the hands of the lender? It's not in the hands of the lender. It was found in the street. Very suspicious. And the borrower's on top of that saying, and it, as far as I'm concerned, this never occurred. So so the Gemara says, so if that's true, why would you give it to the lender? So the Gemara says, now, this note once handed over to the lender, so, okay, so you want to tell me that he's not going to be, there's no lien created by this note, and he's not going to be collecting from the Lekuchos, but when all said and done, he's now holding you're handing him a note that says that I owe money, I'm disputing that I owe money, he's not, right now, the note currently is not in his hands, let's not load him with a note. Let's not arm him with a note that's not going to be able to collect money from me. And granted, he won't be able to go after my lekuchos, but he's going to go after me. And I'm not agreeing to the note. So the Gemara says, so over here, once the note is found, we're going to turn to the lova and ask him a very simple question. Yes or no? Do you owe the money? Do you not owe the money? If you do, we should hand him back the note. And if you don't, so we're not going to hand him back the note. So the Gemara says, "Va'olam kishachayev moda." So the Gemara says over here, we are discussing a case where the borrower says, "Yes, the note is true. Yes, I owe him the money." So, if that's true, what then is the concern? V'ha'chayinu tamed dechayshin and shema kasav lovos benisav v'lalava atishrei v'asel emitzur lekuchos shelo kedin. So the Gemara starts off with the following explanation. Well, maybe the note was written in the month of Nisan. And in other words, in the month of Nisan, in the springtime, the borrower thought he needed money, therefore commissioned the writing of a note, but truth be told is that waited 6 months until he actually handed it to the lender and actually got his money. And the problem with that is that we are now going to have 6 months where we think that there is a lien that this note is creating, but the truth of the matter is that the money wasn't actually given until the month of Tishrei. So the Gemara says, is that really your concern?
What about the witnesses?
Absolutely. No, in other words, the loan was written and signed in the month of Nisan. But
the witnesses?
Huh? With witnesses. It's just that, in terms of when the borrower actually handed to the lender and got in exchange for that money, is only 6 months later. Okay. Now, the Gemara says, now, if you're really worried about that, you should always be worried about that. Meaning, why do we have to come to a context of, well, it was lost, and now it was found, and now we're giving it back to him? So, isn't this always a concern? Why are we always concerned about that? So the Gemara gives a very simple answer. Look, most documents are being held right now by the lender. When the document is being held by the lender, we have no reason to suspect anything other than that the information in the document is correct. Meaning, you say that the loan originated in the month of Tishrei. Sorry, let me go with the Gemara. In the month of Nisan, fine. So you know what? We have nothing to assume but the loan originated in the month of Nisan. Lien against property starting in the month of Nisan. We're going to assume all that. However, this loan document, however, is suspicious. Suspicious because we found it lying around. The lender wasn't holding on to it. Once it's suspicious, now we're going to say like this. Now I'm concerned. Now I'm concerned that maybe even though the note was dated, maybe the actual note did not, the actual loan, better said, it did not happen until 6 months later. Creating 6 months of fictitious lien against the note, and now your poor lekuchos, the buyers who bought property from the borrower, so they thought that they weren't exposed to having the property seized from them, and now because this loan, which was drafted 6 months early, so therefore the property is going to be taken away from them. Right. To which
the lender never has to sign that he was
no, the no
seal the deal.
No, no. Back then, the lenders don't need to sign. Witnesses need to sign. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Kol shtari lo rei hani rei." So Elahad did not. So the Gemara says, "Kol shun shal lo v'alfa pishem avimo lechad chila." So the Gemara says, "Now, a borrower needs money." Okay, so as I explained in the beginning of the shiur, in the beginning of the Mishnah, so the borrower is going to do is he's going to commission a scribe to write up the document. Okay, does he need the malva there to be present? So the Mishnah says no, he does not. In other words, we can have a scribe write up the document for the borrower in anticipation of him getting money from a lender. Now the Gemara says if the borrower's not there, hecha kasvinan. So now nechushema kasav lova menizam velo lava atishrei. So now if you're writing up notes for borrowers in anticipation of a loan, so and again, what is the scribe going to date? The scribe is going to date whatever today is. That's it. So now, and you hand it over to the borrower and you say, okay, Right? Now enjoy. So now the borrower could be holding on to the note upwards of 6 months more. We're just using the same example the Gemara gave earlier. The borrower can hold it on to 6 months, obviously because he didn't hand it to any lender, and the lender didn't give him the money yet, so there's no lien created against the loan. And so the Gemara says, and so why would we ever allow a loan document to be written up if we don't have both the malva and the lova present at the time? Amrav Asi. So to this, the Gemara gives the following answer. In the name of Rav Asi, Bishtare Hakna'a, Da'ashabet Nafshe. So the Gemara says like this. You know what that Mishnah was describing in terms of writing a loan document for a borrower, and you don't need the malva to be present. We're talking about where in the loan document itself it says that there was hakna, meaning that the lova says, even though I didn't get the money yet, I'm already being mishabin myself, I'm committing myself to have my properties mortgaged against this loan, even though I didn't get the money yet. And can you do that? The answer is, of course you can. Meaning a person can commit himself to whatever financial obligation. Because he's desperate for money. And right now, he's so desperate for money, he's basically saying that I'm all right. I need the money so badly right now. I understand it's not the best financial decision.
That's going to put him at a further disadvantage for people that are going to buy his property because they're going to be...
Agreed. No disagreement. But he's right now in such need for money, so that...
It's not really to his total advantage. It's sort of to his disadvantage because people are going to be less likely to buy property from because it's going to be lean.
That's agreed. Okay? But that's... In other words, under those circumstances, Now we are no longer worried about exploiting lekuchos, because the truth of the matter is, once now he has made a commitment, not just a verbal commitment, it is actually written into the document. Once he has committed his property to be a lien, to be a security against the note, even though he hasn't actually physically borrowed the money yet, but at the time of the writing of the document, he's made this commitment. This commitment was put into the document. Now, no longer a concern about taking advantage of lekuchos. We're not taking advantage of lekuchos. He really did commit his property towards that loan, even though he didn't actually receive the money yet for the loan. So the Gemara says, that's what the Mishnah is describing. Okay. So the Gemara says, oh, really? So now, this is an important detail. In fact, it's such an important detail, this needs to be part of the discussion in our Mishnah. Meaning, now that we know that there's two types of loan documents. One, where the loan document has what the Gemara refers to as shtar hakna, where there's a commitment of a lien even before he actually received the money. So now let's go back to our Mishnah. You found a loan document. Now we need to know, was it a shtar hakna? Was it not a shtar hakna? And that's the Gemara's next question. E hachi top of your gimel manalef. Masisin dektani yimish ben machares nechasim lo yachzir. So in our Mishnah we said that if there was shibun nechasim in the document, so then you should not be returning it. Ve'ukim nekesh chayev moda. And we already established that. We asked the borrower, Is there a loan or is there no loan? And he says there is a loan. So mishum shema kasav lavas benisav lava tishrei vaslemitzer lekuchos lo kedin. And the only concern now, and the reason why we're not returning it back to the malve, is because we're worried that the document was drawn up 6 months early. But the truth of the matter is, he didn't borrow the money until 6 months after the loan document was drawn up. But now the Gemara says, so what? Right. It shouldn't matter if the shtar is a shtar. And if the borrower is committing himself already at the time of the writing of the document, so even though 6 months have gone by, and even though he actually hasn't received the loan until 6 months later, it doesn't matter. He accepted this as part of the loan agreement. If it's a shtar hakna, so give it back to the lender, because now there's nothing longer to be concerned with. And if it's a shtar that does not have this term written into it, this clause written into it, like lamechash da'amarki, like a malva ba'adei lo kasvina, because the Gemara says, because remember, the only time we would write a note for the borrower in absentia of the, and the lender's not there, is only going to be when you write a shtar hakna. So basically, now there's nothing left to worry about. If it was a shtar hakna, that's because you're writing it for the borrower without the lender there. And if it's not a shtar hakna, well, the only way the sofer is allowed to write up the document is only when borrower and lender are there. And if borrower and lender are there, so that means most probably that what happened was is that he got the money on that very day. Okay, so we are now basically painted ourselves into a corner. What would be a circumstance in which I find a loan document and the borrower says that the loan document is accurate, and he's not disputing the fact that he owes money, so what in the world is the Mishnah saying? Don't hand it back to the lender. Right now, there is simply nothing to be concerned about. And we should be handing it back to the lender. So Amalei Rav Asi, so Rav Asi says now, in defense of his position, Afagav Deshtar Delav Hakna Ki Leika Malva Ba'adei Lo Kasvinan Masnissin Kevin the Nafal Israelei V'chayshinan Dilma Ikre V'kasuv. So Rav Asi will say like this. Basically, I'm in total agreement with everything you just said. However, there is one detail in our Mishnah that makes our case exceptional. And that is it was a lost document. Meaning, if the document is being held by the lender, so then I'm in total agreement. If it was a shtar hakna, that means that we wrote it for the borrower in absentia of the lender. And we're fine with that, because the borrower committed himself to the lien immediately. And if there wasn't a shtar hakna, so that most probably means that the lender and borrower were both there present for the writing of the document, and that means that the loan probably took place on the date in which the document was written. And all that's true. But right now, where is the loan document? Not in the hands of the lender. It's right now picked up in the street. And so now, I understand that we don't normally suspect this is so, but now we will. Because the loan document is not in the hands of the lender, now we suspect that perhaps it was written up for the borrower, lender wasn't present, and it wasn't written up as a shtar hakna. Now again, that's normally unusual, but this is unusual circumstances. This is all the opinion of Rav Asi. So again, now, if I could just simply summarize the Mishnah according to Rav Asi. I find a loan document in the street. It has Shiva Nechasim. There's a lien. It creates a lien. And the borrower agrees that the loan is true. And then the Mishnah says, but don't hand it back to the Malva. So according to Rav Asi, why? And the answer is to protect the Lekuchos. Because this may be an unusual circumstance in which, even though the shtar was dated back to Nisan, but the loan did not occur until Tishrei 6 months later, and for 6 months now, you are exposing buyers of the property, and you're going to take it away from them, and that is, and that was unlawful. Okay, that's approach number one of our Mishnah, and that's Rav Asi. Two, Abaye Amar, Eidah B'chos Mavzachin Lo V'afilu Shtari D'la V'akna. So Abaye says, no, I disagree with the premise of this entire discussion. When you have a loan document, even if it's not a shtar hakna, witnesses sign. Once witnesses sign on a loan document, that creates a de facto shibud of the property against the loan, even though the loan has not originated. Once the document is written up, so that creates now a lien. Period, says Abaye. So v'afilu shtar d'lav hakna mishum d'kashele kevin damar b'shtar d'lav hakna kileis l'malva ba'day lo kasvina lek l'mechesh d'akri v'kasov. So ela adnan, because Abaye is saying to Rav Asi, what are you concerned about? Maybe this is an unusual circumstance, really. Well, let's consider the Mishnah. This is the Mishnah coming up in just a day from now in the Daf. You find all these different types of documents. When we do the Mishnah inside, I will explain every one of these documents in detail. Right now, just leave it succinctly as you find one of these documents. Harizelo Yachzir, don't return it. Shema, Ksuvim Hayu, Vinimla Chalem Shalolinam. Maybe these documents were written up, but never actually put into play. Now, Vichim Nimla Chalem Mayhave. So the Gemara says, now, if there's a changing of the mind, so what? So the Gemara says, but according to you, Abaye, once witnesses are there signing on the loan document, that immediately creates a shibud. So according to you, Abaye, what are you going to do with that Mishnah? So Abaye will say, that's fine. What do you mean? That's totally fine. Meaning, when are the witnesses going to be creating a de facto shibud? That's only when it gets into the hands. So, but if it doesn't get to his hands, then we're not going not going to say it. So the Gemara says, now let's go to our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, we said that there's Sheba Nechasim. And even, and, I'm sorry, not even. When there's Sheba Nechasim, don't return it back to the Malva. Now, Bisham Ravasi Dharma Bishai Kanasa Mukila Bishai Dilava Knasa Kadamrinan. Now, according to Ravasi, our Mishnah works out fine because it wasn't a Shtar Hakna, and when there's no Shtar Hakna, we are now there to protect the Lakuchos, therefore we're not going to give it to the Malva. Ella Abaye Dhamma Ida Bachos Mav Zachin Lo, but according to you, Abaye, we're just the by virtue of the fact that there are two witness signing on the document, that is a de facto Shibud on the document. So according to you, Abaye, Michael Amemar. So now in our Mishnah, what are you serving to protect? It doesn't matter when the loan begins. It simply doesn't matter. And so now, there really is nothing left to be concerned about, seemingly. There's nothing left to be concerned about. The fact that the document may have predated the actual loan itself doesn't matter. The moment the witness is signed on the document, that creates a shibud. De facto. So, and the lover is admitting that the loan took place. So now, what are you left to worry about? So, Abaye will tell you, Masisan Chayshinan, sorry, Hainu Taima, De Chayshin Lepiran Lukanunya. So, Abaye will say in his defense as follows. You know what I'm worried about? I'm not worried about the lien starting from the origination of the loan, because it's true. When the witness is signed, the lien will start immediately. Here's what I'm worried about. I'm worried about the following. Loan was written. Loan was given to the lender. Term of the loan came up. During the loan term, the borrower sold off the properties. Then what happens is that borrower pays back the loan. And now the borrower says to the lender, I have the following idea. Let me make the following suggestion to you. You see, I sold off my properties during the loan, and because I satisfied the loan, so now I can't buy back the properties, and I have seller's remorse. I didn't want to sell off those properties. So here's what I would like to do with you, he says to the lender. I'm going to give you back the loan document, or I'll lose the loan document. It'll be handed back to you, and now what you're going to do is, with that loan document in your hand, even though it's a satisfied note, even though it's been already been paid up, but because I have seller's remorse, so now what you're going to do is you're going to go after the Lukuchos and you're going to get back the property, and we'll split the property. Now, granted, by the way, that most probably I'm going to be the position. I'm going to have to reimburse the Lukuchos. But in other words, right now, my objective is to simply get back the property. And so I will get back the property by handing you the note back or losing the note and having it being returned back to you. So Abaye says, that's what I'm worried about. And being that that's what I'm worried about, so this is what the Gemara's expression is, Chayish Lepiron, we're worried about that the note was in fact paid back in Kenunya, and we're worried about deception. Right, correct. In other words, either way. Okay, I understand your point. In other words, he could have done it in a much simpler fashion. Okay, I understand.
Maybe this is less open to challenge, because then it could be like, if somebody found it, they give the lender, there's witnesses that it was given to, there was could, like, no. It was,
agreed. I'm acknowledging. Right. He could have done it simpler, but either way. Okay, now. So far right now, we have two opinions in our Mishnah. We have the opinion of Ravasi and his explanation of our Mishnah, and we're worried about exposing the buyers of the property to a time period in which the loan document was written, but the loan didn't actually occur. So during that period, which we described as could be a six-month period, so now we're going to be extracting properties from a buyer which are unlawful. That's one explanation of our Mishnah, and that's why we won't return it back to the note back to the lender. Or a second explanation that given by Abaye is that no, we're not worried about that because the shibud occurs immediately. What we're worried about is on the other side of the loan. Once the loan was paid up, and then the borrower is going to have seller's remorse of property, he's going to want to get back the property, so he's going to lose the document. We put that in quote. He's going to lose the document, have the document get back to the Malva, and the Malva is now going to come and collect from the Lakuchos. Or, to put it succinctly, Kenunya. He's worried about this type of deception. And that's why we won't give the document back to the Malva. So now, Shmuel is not worried about this. Shmuel, just on a general note, This is not a concern of his. So according to Shmuel, so Hanichi Savala Karavasi Dame Bisharakna Muki Masnitz Bishar Delavakna. So now if Shmuel sides with Ravasi in that the lien does not start immediately, unless it's a Shar Hakna, and the Mishnah is talking about a case where it's not a Shar Hakna, so then Shmuel will just simply side with Ravasi. Eli Savaka Abaye Dame Eda Vachos Mazachan La Maik Lamemar. But if Shmuel sides with Abaye, that the lien starts immediately, so now Shmuel, we have now pigeonholed Shmuel to a position where there's literally nothing to worry about. Meaning, as far as the lien is concerned, it starts immediately if he sides with Abaye. And then we know on a separate note that Shmuel is not worried about this concern of Kanunya. So now you find a note, and the borrower admits and agrees that the note has so far gone unpaid, there is now nothing left to worry about. So then I should be handing the note back to the lender, but our Mishnah says that we don't. So the Gemara says, so how is Shmuel going to understand our Mishnah? So Shmuel Mukil Masisin Kishen Chayav Moda. So the Gemara says, okay, so there's one more variable that we can, so to say, play with, and that is the response of the Lova. Shmuel will tell you that our Mishnah is talking about where the Lova himself does not agree. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. That's not going to work because Yahachi can't memachres nechasim amayachzer nihid alogabe memeshabdei bibenei chare magbei gabe. So the Gemara says, okay, but then I don't understand. So if the note had shibun nechasim, so we don't hand it back to the mava. But we learned in the Mishnah the note does not have shibun nechasim, we will hand it back to the lender. Now according to Shmuel, wait 1 second, that's still going to allow him to collect. Let me say that point again, and let me say it just a little bit better. In other words, more correctly. Even if a note that has shibun nechasim can't collect from property, but it can collect from assets on hand, from the borrower. So if that's true, so why would you be giving it back to the lender when the borrower says that the note never occurred? Now again, I made this point earlier, but let me just reiterate. We don't normally care what the borrower says. If the lender is holding the note, That's it. But the reason why in this case we care about what the borrower says is because the lender's not holding the note. The note was found in the street. So now the borrower gets to have a say in the matter. And he's saying, well, no, it never happened. So in other words, either the note never occurred or it was given back to me and I lost it. Hare magbe gabe. So Shmuel atame damer Shmuel omer haye Rabbi Meir shtar chov shein bo achreis nechasim ein gove lo memishav lo b'nei chare. So the Gemara says, well, Shmuel, in explanation of our Mishnah, will tell us the following. That if you have a note that was lost and then found, subsequently found, and this note did not have Shibun HaChasim written into the note, it is a totally uncollectible document. You can't collect both lien properties and even cash on hand.
Yeah. So is he explaining Rav Meir, or is that his opinion?
No, that's his understanding of Rav Meir's viewpoint. So the Gemara asks now what is really a simple question. So why do we even bother giving it back to anybody if it's useless? So the Gemara's answer, so the Gemara says, well, you never know. It is a piece of paper, and it is somewhat serviceable, meaning you need it as a cork, as a makeshift cork, so let the mava at least have something to be able to keep his wine from going bad. So the Gemara, and I also find the answer to be slightly humorous, but the Gemara even questions this. So the Gemara says, well, that's true. So the Gemara says, okay, but if we're looking to help the Malva and his wine from going bad, why it seems to be arbitrary, because it's a useless piece of paper, and you now want to award this useless piece of paper to the Malva? Why not give it to the Lova? The Amar lo hayudvar me'olam. So here, now we're going to fine-tune what exactly the Lova said. We know what the Lova said. Not that I paid up the loan. The Lova said is, this never happened. This is a totally forged document. As far as I'm concerned, it never occurred. Right? So, the loan document itself becomes uncollectible because it doesn't have shibun nechasim. And so now, it's a piece of paper. And so now we're going to give it to the Mava. Why not give it to the Lova? Because the Lova is just simply saying it never happened. And therefore, I'm not giving it back to him. Okay, let's quickly recap. And let's go over what we have seen so far today. Finishing up the Mishnah on Yud Beis Amud Aleph in explanation of the metzias of people who are subordinate and who gets to keep them. So we finished up describing the explanation of the Amah Yivriya and where her metzias go. And we discussed also the Powal and the Eved Ivri and where his metzias go. We started the Mishnah about finding a loan document. And so far, we haven't gotten that far in terms of an explanation of the Mishnah. We have basically wrapped our heads so far around the Shita of Reb Meir in the Mishnah, that if it's a Shtar Chov with Shiba Nechassim, we don't return it back to the Malveh. And if it's a Shtar Chov with no Shiba Nechassim, then we do return it back to the Malveh. And we have so far three different explanations of our Mishnah in terms of why, according to Reb Meir, a Shtar Chov with Shiba Nechassim is not returned back to the Malveh. Quickly in succession. Number one, Rav Asi says that our Mishnah is talking about where the Lova agrees that the loan actually occurred. And our Mishnah is talking about where the Shtar is not a Shtar Hakna, which means that there can be a discrepancy between when the loan was written up and when the lien actually begins. And so now, in order to protect the Lekuchos during that time period, so therefore we're not going to return it back to the Mava. That's explanation number one. Explanation number two, that given by Abaye. Abaye says that when a loan document is written up, the lien begins effectively immediately. Once witness is signed, so then the lien begins immediately. Now, according to Abaye, why am I not going to be giving the loan document over to the Malva? Because we're worried about maybe the loan has been satisfied and the borrower wants to get back the property that he sold, so he's just going to do this kanunya to get the document back to the hands of the Malva, and so that the Malva will collect the property and they'll split the property. And that's Abaye's explanation. Finally, three, Shmuel's explanation. And Shmuel says that our Mishnah is talking about a case where the borrower denies being owed the money. Owing the money. And since the borrower denies owing the money, so therefore we're not going to give it back to the Malva, because since the lender is not holding the document, and we found the document, and we asked the borrower, what's the story? And the borrower says, story is, I don't know what's going on over here. That document is not real. I didn't borrow the money. So therefore, it's not going to be returned to the Malva. Which then, only one more question that we wrapped up today, and that is, according to Shmuel's explanation, if there's no Shiba Nechasim, so we do return it back to the Malva, why would that be? Answers the Gemara, because he needs a cork stopper. In other words, in that piece of paper, at least the aim has the value of a cork stopper. It has no other value outside of that. Why not give it to the borrower? Because the borrower says, lo hayu dvarim me'olam.